This morning, I want to talk to you about stress and rest. As I began researching the topic of stress, I just looked up the word stress in Google. I came up with over a billion listings. And I have to tell you that I immediately felt stressed. Yeah. According to the American Psychological Association, 75% of adults reported experiencing moderate to high levels of stress in the last month, and nearly half reported that their stress has increased in the past year. That seems rather obvious. Americans are experiencing considerable stress related to the coronavirus. You are, I am, even wearing those face masks all the time is stressful, isn't it? If you wear glasses, they fog up, they make your nose itch. I heard someone say, I can't wait till it's over. I agree. I'm with you on that. So we've adopted a letter saying that all of you have said, TGIF, right? Thank goodness it's Friday. We are always happy to hear that Friday has arrived. Whether you're retired or whether you're working makes no difference, I don't think. We're always glad when Friday arrives because a weekend is ahead. So the end of work on Friday, the end of the usual routine on Friday, means a Saturday and Sunday is coming when we can do some work around the house. We can catch a little extra rest and enjoy the company of other people more, perhaps, than normal. And I believe that is the best part of the weekend. We have a relaxed, unhurried schedule to do what it is that we would like to do. Our bodies do need rest from the work and from the stress that we put them through during the week. And it is rest that restores and prepares us for the work and challenges of the week that is coming. Now, I want to tell you that while we think of that a lot in terms of the physical person, the same is true of the inner you. Your mind and emotions are really not capable of living with extended stress. Eventually, it will wear you down and wear you out. Every one of us needs inner rest. We all need that kind of inner rest that restores our emotional and our mental well-being. Now, the good news of Hebrews chapter 4, which we're going to look at in a moment, is that God promises to give us rest. It's included there and other passages in the scripture. Obviously, I'm sure you can probably quote a few of those passages. We tend to equate rest with sleeping in on a rainy morning or relaxing in the sun at the beach. Maybe that's what Pastor Dan and Kim are looking for since they spent the week at Ocean City, New Jersey. That's just in fun. You can tell them I said that. But the rest that we read about in the book of Hebrews is different. We don't just need to take a day off from work, nor do we necessarily need to take a drive to the beach in order to rest, although that's really good if you can get away from home and do that. We need the kind of rest that is available on a regular, daily basis. And I believe that the rest that we need sometimes is as close as prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. The people of Israel got incredibly close to entering into God's promised land. I'm sure you remember that part of their history. They literally stood on the banks of the Jordan River, looking across the river into the land that God had set apart for them. It was a land that the Bible says flowed with milk and honey. But as they stood there on the bank of the river looking across to the other side, they just couldn't believe that God would give them the victory that they would need to deal with the enemies that they were going to face when they crossed over. So instead of being filled with faith, they were filled with fear. And they decided not to cross and enter. And just as the land of promise stood before the children of Israel, so the promise of God's rest stands right before us. Unfortunately, entering into God's rest is not something that's automatic. If it were, then none of us would be stressed. We would all be very relaxed and very calm and just feeling fuzzy warm on the inside. It would probably be helpful to take a moment and to define what kind of rest is being offered here in the text. I will tell you that the word for rest comes from a Greek word. I won't bother to give it to you, but it comes from a Greek word that we literally transliterate, which means we take the Greek and say it in English. It literally says to pause. The word rest means to stop working. It means to cease action. But it also means to be free of worry and to lean on something or someone else for the support that we need. Unfortunately, not enough of us experience that kind of rest. We take time off and we sleep. We try to recuperate. But we don't experience freedom from anxiety and worry. We fall short of experiencing the kind of inner peace that the Bible talks about that can restore and energize us to deal with the stresses and headaches that we're going to face in the coming week. Why is that? Jesus said we'd have peace. Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you, not as the world give I to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Told there's lots of verses in there. Why don't we get that? For the same reason that the children of Israel didn't enter the promised land and then ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. We sometimes struggle to believe and act on the promises of God. We repeat the mistake of the Israelites by operating on the basis of sight, fearing the obstacles and headaches that we see before us, and then falling victim to unbelief. Sometimes I think it's in our genes to be that way. I talk about the Pennsylvania Dutch a lot because my background's all German. My wife's background is all German. And you know German people. We take care of it on our own. We don't need anybody else, thank you very much. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to do that. It carries over into our spiritual lives. And so we struggle with God's promises. When we don't embrace God's promises, they will not bear any fruit in our lives. They will just be a promise that was handed, but not one experienced. But that doesn't mean that if we go through a period of time that we struggle to believe, that the promise is taken away. The promise is still available. And that's where the first verse begins. It says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. To enter his rest, we must believe, and we need to lean on his promise. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. He said, it is by believing that we enter into rest, and it is by obeying God by faith and surrendering to his will that his rest enters into us. All of God's promises have caveats. There are conditions that we have to meet in order to experience them. Requirements. Those requirements are explained in the verses that follow verse 1. And let me share with you the first condition to experience this promise of rest. It is faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says, this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. The Hebrews under Moses' leadership heard the truth of God time and time and time again. But unfortunately, there were times that the truth that they heard did them absolutely no good. And the reason was very simple. To them, it remained merely intellectual, theological information that they just were not able to apply to life. They never mixed what they learned with faith so they could act upon it. They heard all about God's ability to supply all of their needs according to his riches and glory. But they couldn't believe that God would do it for them. Believe it for everybody else. But it's different when you have to believe it for yourself personally. So the Israelites took a different path, and they missed what God had for them. They failed to enter the promised land. They failed to experience God's rest for all those 40 years. The warning that's implicit in the passage is that only when we believe and act according to God's truth can we truly enter into God's rest. So the first condition is faith. The second one is submission. In verse 4 and 5, the Bible goes on to say, "We know it," referring to rest, "is ready because the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day, and it says, on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my rest." Those words that are listed there transport us back in time to the moment when God created everything there is in six literal days. Then when the universe was complete, you'll remember, the Bible says that on the seventh day, God did what? He rested. He ceased his labor and he rested. God's rest is an illustration of his plan for each of us to make a time every week to rest. And I'd like you to notice, maybe you've done this already, but if you haven't, please notice that man's first full day with God, since man was created on the sixth day, man's first full day with God was on the seventh day, and it was a day of rest. Today is the first day of the week, and it is designated as a day of rest. Man was created. God gave us the opportunity to rest. That is further illustrated, this whole concept of rest, when we look at how Jesus completed our salvation. Because when he did, the Bible says that Jesus himself, as our Savior, also rested. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, "But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I don't know about you, but when I think of being seated, I see that as a position to rest. Jesus rested. We begin our life of faith the same way that Adam did. We begin by resting in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and 6 puts it this way. "But God, being rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him." You see, we get to sit also. When creation was complete, God rested. When salvation was secure, Jesus rested. And now as we live in Christ, we too can rest. We can experience peace and refreshing. If rest is to occur, we have to have faith and we have to submit to the authority of God's word. Everything that needed to be done to create the world, God did. Everything that needed to be done to secure our salvation and our victory over the world, Jesus did. Everything that we need today and in the future, God says he'll provide. God only requires that today we read his word, know what it says, and live a life of obedience to him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6 goes on to say, "So God's rest is there for people to enter, but those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God." Makes it very clear. If we're going to enter into and experience God's rest, then we have to acknowledge that God has done everything that we need and will continue to do and to provide what is needed in the days, months, and years ahead. There's nothing outside of God's control. As a sovereign God, he knows where we're going and he'll take care of us along the journey. God knows how much we need rest. He knows we need physical rest. He knows we need mental rest, that we need emotional rest, and we need spiritual rest as well. He makes his rest available to everyone who wants it. And then verse 7 says, "So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today." God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted, saying, "Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts." If you're one of those people who have yet to experience God's rest, you need to respond to the truth you're hearing. You cannot turn your back on the truth and expect to enter God's rest. So to experience God's rest in a figurative way, you have to enter into it. Verse 10 says it this way, "For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors just as God did after creating the world." Trying to put it this way, you enter God's rest the same way you enter the church this morning. There's a door down there right off the parking lot. You walked up there and there was a nice young gal there this morning and she was opening the door for everybody. She opened the door and you had to make a choice to walk in. And when you walked in, you entered into church. In a figurative way, the same thing happens if we're going to enter into God's rest. It's there. All we have to do is walk through the door so that we can begin to experience his rest. We need to rest from our labors, including that labor that we might call worry and anxiety that comes so naturally to us. I'll tell you one thing that we're all experts in. All of us. We're all experts at worrying, and we're experts at struggling with anxiety, aren't we? And yet, you know, I've heard you say it, I'm sure. It doesn't matter how much you worry, it doesn't change anything, does it? Not one little tiny bit. So the Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing, doesn't it? Which is the Bible's way of saying don't worry about anything because you can't change it anyway. You have to trust God to take care of it. Unfortunately, entering into God's rest is not automatic. I said earlier, if it were, none of us would struggle with anxiety. None of us would struggle with stress. We'd all be refreshed and we'd all be joyful and we'd all feel warm and fuzzy inside. It's just not automatic. So the instructions to enter in are given in verse 11. It says, "So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall." Simply put, this means that God's rest will require diligence. Or if you like another word, I'll say it sometimes requires some determination. It means you have to make a choice and you have to stick to that choice. Again, you all know how easy it is to worry. It doesn't take any effort at all to worry. But you have to choose to depend on God and to trust him to work everything out for your good and for his glory. So if you find yourself drowning in stress and worry today, I'd like to try to summarize some of this in a few steps. I'm always reluctant to do that because, you know, this would be like writing a book, 6 easy steps to not have stress. Nah, I'm not real big into formula books. I'm sure you've read a number of them over the years, and most of them don't really work as neatly as they're packaged, do they? So I'm a little reluctant to do that, but I'm hoping perhaps this will help you to remember some ingredients of what it takes to enter into God's rest. The first is this. We're going to use the acrostic rescue. I think I forgot to say that. I'm going to use the acrostic rescue. So the letter R stands for this. Refuse to worry. That's easier said than done. But refuse to worry. Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done." God literally commands us to stop worrying. That's almost scary, isn't it? Philippians 4:6 is a command. Stop worrying. Boy, and if you know you got to obey the commands, that can just stress you out, can't it? God has everything under control. God wants to take care of our problems. God wants to meet our needs. So we don't need to worry. There's another passage which talks about how God takes care of the birds of the air and all the animals that are out there. And how much more does he care for you over them? Our biggest battleground in entering this place of rest is right here between the temples. Is literally a battle that we oftentimes end up waging in our minds. And it is there in our minds that the battle between rest and worry is fought. We have to make a conscious choice not to worry. You know what happens? This isn't in my notes, but I'm going to stick it in there. I see I have a couple extra minutes. Tell yourself not to worry. You know what you'll do? You'll worry. Tell yourself for a minute, I'm not going to think about the color blue. You know what you'll do? You'll think about the color blue. Because your mind can't think about nothing. You have to think about something else. So if you choose not to worry, the next thing you need to do is focus your mind in a different direction. You have to be thinking. Your mind will always be thinking about something. So decide not to think about the problem and instead think about God, which brings me to the E of rescue. Explain the problem to God. Instead of you just mulling it over and over and over in your mind, waking up in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock, and that problem's going around and around and around, you can't get back to sleep because you're just too worried about it. Choose not to think about it and start talking to God about it. Explain the problem to God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. There is nothing in your life that he does not care about. He even knows how many hairs are on your head, or he knows how many you lost, some of you, over the years. Some of us have a little bit thinner hair than we used to. Mine has thinned out a lot over the years. But he knows how many hairs are on your head. That's how much he cares for you. God wants to know what's bothering you. Yes, he knows all about it. There's nothing he doesn't know. But he loves you, and he wants you to experience the very best, and he knows that one of the steps to help you experience that is to talk to him about it, because it means you've taken your focus off the problem and you shifted it toward God. If I'm talking to my wife, I think about her and what I'm sharing with her instead of my problems, perhaps. You need to talk to God very candidly and tell him what's stressing you. Tell him what's worrying you. God will listen. I've experienced over the years that when I'm stressed and I'm worried, if I just talk about my problem, it makes me feel better. It just feels good to sort of talk it through. Sometimes I need a warm body. My wife is my favorite confidant with stresses and worries. Sometimes it's been other people, but my best one has always been God. When I talk it through with God, I feel better when I'm done talking to him about it. So tell him what's stressing him. Tell him what's worrying you. He'll listen. And just talking will help. Of course, then he'll respond too. So refuse to worry. Second, explain the promise to God. Third, this is perhaps a little redundant with a slight twist to it. The S of rescue is shift the stress through prayer. Again, I think that's an essential step to experiencing rest. King David understood what that was all about. One time, he and his men returned from a three-day journey only to discover that the enemy had come back to their home, had burned their homes, captured their wives and children. Guess what everybody thought of David? Everybody was angry at David for what had happened. They needed someone to blame. He took them on a three-day journey. Their wives and homes, their wives were taken away. Their children were taken away. Their homes were destroyed while they were out of town. Obviously, not enough people left behind to provide guards. So the men blamed David for what had happened. I can't even imagine how much stress David must have felt knowing what happened while he had those men out of town under his command. His response was to shift the stress and anxiety he felt to God through prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David got alone. David talked to God. He shared with God everything that was on his heart. And then I believe he trusted God to take care of that need. He shifted the solution and finding that solution to God instead of to himself. David knew the problem was more than he could handle. So he turned the problem and he turned the stress over to God. And God did take care of it. So refuse to worry. Explain the problem to God. Claim God's promises. Explain the problem to God. I missed one. Let me do it again. Refuse to worry. Explain the problem to God. Shift the stress through prayer. And then four, C, rescue. Claim God's promises by faith. God has spoken to whatever situation you're facing today. I don't know what you're facing. Many people here probably don't either. But God knows what you're facing, and God has something in Scripture for every situation in life you will ever face. All you need to do is to apply His Word to what you're dealing with. You need to learn how and stand on the promises that God has offered you. Find those promises and commit them to memory. I hope that you've got a promise box somewhere tucked away in your memory that when things go wrong, you've got one you can pull out and you can claim God, say, God, this is what you said, therefore I'm asking you to fulfill this. Whenever you're feeling threatened, whenever you're feeling stressed, claim God's promises as true of you. Quote them to God. God, this is what you said. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I claim that, and I ask you to fulfill that promise for me right now. The U of rescue is to unleash the power of praise. I believe there is real power in praise. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, sing and make melody with your heart to the Lord. And I believe it is because there is power when we give praise and honor to God. And probably the easiest way to do that, and for me the easiest way to do it when I'm down in the dumps, is to start singing a song. I find it hard to get started talking sometimes, but the words of a hymn that you know may very well come back to you, and you begin to sing those words. Songs like Great is Thy Faithfulness, and others like we sang this morning. Sing those songs because they help to tune our hearts back with God's heart. And when we offer praise to God, it shifts our focus from our problems toward God Himself. So look at the great hymns of the church. And when I say great hymns, I mean both the traditional hymns and the contemporary ones as well. There are some contemporary songs I think are just as great as the hymns that were written 200 years ago. And there's some not so good written today, and some not so good that were written 200 years ago too, because they passed out of existence. But those great hymns that speak words of truth and encouragement, sing them to God. They will help to lift your spirit even when you're struggling, because it will lift your voice and it will lift your mind and it will lift your heart heavenward toward God Himself. So unleash the power of praise. And the last thing, the E of rescue, is to exchange your striving for rest. Quit trying to solve the problems you can't control. That's what we worry about most of the time. All the problems that in the end we can't control at all. I'll give you a case in point. This is a little abstract. I hear people worried about the upcoming election. You can't control the election anyway, can you? All you can do is vote. Now, that's kind of an abstract one, and I could get more personal about it. But so many things we worry about, we can't control the outcome even the tiniest bit. All we can do is sit back and wait to see what happens. So quit trying to solve the things you can't control. And when you have a problem, ask God to intervene. Give Him the space and the time to get involved and to solve the problem His way. Because He will. Maybe not as quickly, and maybe not in the way that you want, but He will work it all out. That's my favorite saying. He'll work it out for your good and His glory. Trust Him to do that. So refuse to worry. Explain the problem to God. Shift the stress through prayer. Claim God's promises by faith. Unleash the power of praise. And exchange striving for rest. Psalm chapter 40, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now that's how it reads in the King James Version of the Bible, for those of you who have the KJV. That's the way I memorized that verse a long time ago. Be still and know that I am God. In the New American Standard Bible, which is the one I normally do my Bible studies in, it's translated this way. The word still is translated as cease striving and know that I am God. Now, in the marginal references of my first New American Standard Bible, which was an older version than this one is, it used to have a note in the marginal reference. And I hope you read the marginal references if you have them. It's a little encouragement as a Christian educator to have you do that. But in a marginal reference in my first New American Standard Bible, the marginal reference added this. It indicated that the phrase "cease striving" literally means to let go, relax. And we don't let go, and we don't relax. We just keep at it, and we keep at it, and we keep at it. And that hinders us. And I looked that same thing up in my newer copy of the New American Standard Bible, and I noticed there's another statement here in the footnotes, and I just thought I'd read it to you, just because I want you to see there's some good stuff in here if you don't normally look at it. When it talks about being weary, all who are weary, the footnote says, those who work to exhaustion. All those who work to exhaustion, let go and relax. It's really what it's saying. God wants to carry your burdens. God wants you to enter into his rest. He wants his rest, as Warren Wiersbe put it, he wants his rest to enter into you. He wants you to experience his peace that passes all understanding. He wants you to know a soundness of mind, heart, and will. He wants you to be whole. And I don't use this word very often because it can be misconstrued, but I believe God wants you to know joy that can ultimately mean you can be a happy person. But we have to stand on God's promises. Trust your burdens to his care right now, and you'll be able to enter into his rest. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, I'm going to read it one more time. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. I hope you experience that rest today. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the promise of rest. Physical rest, mental rest, emotional rest, spiritual rest. And we thank you that when we walk by faith in you, we can be whole and we can be well. I pray, Father, that everyone who is here today, whatever level of stress they're experiencing, Lord, that today they'll be able to trust you to deal with that, to deal with the situation they face. And I pray, Lord, that your rest will enter into them, that they'll know your peace, your quiet, your calm. And Lord, as they face life this week, they'll be able to face it with a positive attitude, with a song in their lips, knowing that all is well. Father, I pray, bless each one today with the ability to claim your promises and to stand upon them. Thank you for the gift of rest that you give to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.